All right, James chapter 5, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about patience. We've developed the function of the fruit of patience or long-suffering. It's so that we can persevere in trials to receive what God has promised. And the functions of the fruit of patience is to produce endurance. And the next one we talked about was to help produce unity in the body of Christ, to be patient with one another, instead of being critical and judgmental and so forth. And we ended up last time with 1 Peter 2:19 to 23. It's better off to endure hardship or suffer for doing right than to suffer for doing wrong, because this is what we are called to. And so we can do things right, but the right thing to do is, when you get impatient with people, is to love them, pray for them, suffer the abuse, forgive them, release them, and you are released. It doesn't have an effect on your heart, and so you suffer for doing good. This is what we are called to. So would we want God to act towards our faults as we often act towards faults against us? Stop and think about that for a moment. The way we react, is that the way we would want God to react to us? If we haven't forgiven somebody and they get in an accident and their name comes up and somebody says they were in an accident and the thoughts come from your heart, serves them right. What have we got in an accident? Ask God for healing and he says, serves you right. Sometimes we got to turn this thing around from God's perspective. And all the grace he's had towards us, oh my goodness. I don't understand why people don't have grace for others. Man, what he's taken us through. I was telling Kathy the other day, when I get to heaven, I'm sure my guardian angel's going to want to have a long talk with me. Yeah. Do you know what you put me through? Poor guy didn't get to sleep at all. All right, James chapter 5, verse 7. Let me get over there. Patience is important. I thought as I got older I would have more patience, but I find that as my body gets weaker, my emotional stamina gets weaker, I got to work harder at some of these things, especially when I'm on the computer. But so we never stop growing. I had seen a little cartoon that somebody sent me one time about this old lady sitting in a chair, and she's got a rag around her hair, and it looks like she's been cleaning house or something, and she's sitting there with a bottle of beer in her hand or something, and got a disgusted look on her face, and says, I thought as I get older I'd have more patience, but as it turns out, I just really don't care anymore. So she didn't develop any patience, but she didn't care either, so. All right, this is talking about the return of the Lord. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Wow. Something I've learned over the years. When I started pastoring 35 years ago, we went to meetings and it was all about revival's coming, every year. They lied to me. 35 years later, it's still not here. But I've learned to be patient. Well, it was terrible because they got you all worked up and you wanted to serve Jesus, you wanted to see results, and you went out and done everything you could because you had to get ready for revival, and still hasn't come. But it is coming. Jesus promised it, so. But we've had to be patient. I think that's probably one of the things God is developing in those that are going to be leading up to the revival, the same as he did with Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, and Joseph, and thrown in a well and put in jail, and he learned some patience in a hurry. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. And so this is speaking of the former outpouring, the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain was in the book of Acts. The latter rain is just before Jesus comes back. And so God is waiting patiently for that right timing to send out that latter rain, and we got to wait patiently also. You too be patient and stand firm. It says the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. I realized this morning, you know, that many prophets and everything in the Old Testament were farmers. That's what a lot of them did. Elisha was farming. Elijah was farming. David was farming. I realized farming really develops discipline, patience. Some years you work hard all year, and then you get a hailstorm. You got no crop insurance. You did a whole year for nothing, it seems. All the next year you just start again. And you kept going because you're going to get the farm paid off. You're going to provide for your family. And the farmer is always at the bottom end of the totem pole. The middleman who moves the fruit along or moves the product along makes as much as the farmer, and he doesn't have to do anything except make some arrangements. And so, but everybody needs to, where would we be without the farmers? But they just keep going no matter what the weather. They keep on working in the rain, and we have to. Got to get the crop in. Got to feed those animals every morning. Got to get up every morning. I mean, it really develops a lot of discipline, self-discipline, character, tenacity, a no-quit attitude, because what are you going to do? You got to keep working until the farm's paid off. But it's the same in the body of Christ. Those are all the character traits that God wants to develop in people. To be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Well, there you go. James wrote that 2,000 years ago. But we're 2,000 years closer, right, Bruce? Peter wrote that the Lord is not slow keeping his promises, because time to the Lord is like 1,000 years is as one day. So Jesus said, I'm coming soon. It's only been 2 days since he said that. He has a different perspective of time than we do. The Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So we want revival. We want revival. Everybody wants revival. Who wants to develop some patience? Who wants to develop some perseverance, some depth of character so we can handle what's coming? Well, when's it coming? We don't know. This is why Hebrews chapter 11 is in the Bible, where it talked about all the people in the Old Testament and what they went through, but they were looking for a city from God, and they never received. And then it says in Hebrews chapter 12, seeing as how we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, they went through all of that for us so that we could have Jesus and accept Jesus. They prepared the way, and they didn't quit for nothing. And some of them lived in caves and all, and they saw their children killed and everything else, but they would not deny their God. Wow, what they went through for us. And this is what God wants us to develop. We live in a society where everything is so readily available. We want it, and we want it now. But that whole society doesn't develop patience or character, does it? And then you got, the busyness on the highways, and if they got to commute, I don't know how some of these people, well, this is where road rage comes from. They're commuting, they're tired, they work all day, and then they got to drive home an hour through all that heavy traffic, and it takes an hour and a half or a 30-minute trip or something, and wow, crazy. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Those prophets in the Old Testament, man, they needed to persevere. Mm-hmm. Nobody listened to them. They got thrown into wells. They got killed and everything else. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So, as the Lord said himself in Matthew 24, he who endures to the end will be saved. We're going to need a lot of patience in the future if we're here when that time comes. So the Lord is full of compassion, but we bring judgment on ourselves. One thing Jesus warns in waiting, be patient and don't fight with each other. Be patient, don't grumble against each other. seems even in the body of Christ, people are trying to establish their ministry or get ahead, sort of like the whole spirit of the world. Instead of trusting in the Lord to develop their ministry, they're trying to create it through hype, excitement, or this or that, or whatever means that they can think of, motivated out of their own desires of their own heart, then when things don't go their way, they get frustrated because they're working so hard to get this accomplished, and then they're motivated out of their own flesh. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but if we're patient, we won't lose our hope. Just always keep on going. It's just learning to rest in Him and leave the timing to Him and just being faithful. Takes the pressure off. But when you're trying to get something accomplished and it's not working, you get frustrated. Let's look at Hebrews 6. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised, has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. 25 years he waited for the son of promise. 25 years. He's roaming throughout the land. We've been in Israel. We've seen how the people live in tents. The Bedouins, they're called. They come up to the bus and the kids stick their hand out for money. You could smell them from the bus. They stink so bad. And they live in these tents out in the fields all year round, moving their tents from place to place so the sheep will get some more grass. They raise sheep. And but they'll have a car, a fancy car, or a big new tractor there. They saved up all those years just to buy that. But and that's the way Abraham would have lived, just moving from place to place, wherever the good land was, God multiplying his herd and blessing them. A rich man in those days was a man who had so many goats or so many camels or so many this or so many that. And so he grew in prosperity and in wealth. But it was 25 years. Can you imagine? God tells him to leave his city, his family, go to where he's called, and then he's traveling around for 25 years before he receives the son of promise. Then when the son is 15, 16, 17 years old or so, he's asked to sacrifice him. And that's what made his faith complete. Said, even if I kill him, God will raise him from the dead. Wow. And Abraham doubted at times, how will I know this will happen? So God made a covenant with him to ensure the promise. The creator of the universe made a blood covenant with Abraham. Wow. So if God didn't keep the promise, then he couldn't be God anymore. What? We're in a new and a better covenant through the blood of Jesus, where everything's already done. God will keep his promises, but we have to be patient and persevere. Many times that God doesn't heal instantly because he wants us, if we know him, to get to know him as our healer. And we have to persist in faith and be patient, because that is going to develop all different kinds of character and the fruit of the Spirit in us. It's going to develop steadfastness, self-control, patience, get us in the Word, keep us in the Word. So much will happen through that process of receiving the healing, so much more than if you got an instant healing. And an instant healing doesn't really develop a whole lot of faith. It makes you happy because God heard your prayer and he answered you, but believe that you have received, he's heard your prayer also. But then you have to persevere, stay in the Word, build up your faith. All of that God uses. This is why God uses all the negative things in the world to help us grow. And that's why we can count it all joy. Because then something is actually happening in our heart. And the Israelites, can you imagine how God brought them out of Egypt? They're in the wilderness for 40 years and they're testing God. God is feeding them supernaturally every day, raining down bread from heaven. I don't know how many boxcar loads a day it was. Then they started complaining, we want some meat. And they complained and complained. So then God gave them birds, sent them down from the sky up to their armpits. You want meat? Here's meat. Then when he wanted to bring them into the promised land, they wouldn't go because they were afraid. Like, God did all of that, and it did not develop any faith in them whatsoever. Wow. So we get an instant healing. It's nice. It's wonderful. And God does these things at times, but everything is there for us by faith. But it's patience. Amen. Patience. 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 I'm patient. Did your wife ever say to you, be patient? I am. She'd see me when I'm not. I know, that just happens to me, not to you guys. Hebrews 10. So, actually, in verse 19, it talks about a call to persevere. And let's go to this verse 36. I'll start verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Wow. This is like total abandonment to God. We're going to keep living this life because Jesus has given it to us. It's in us. This is his will. If we shrink back, God will not be pleased. So we just keep living by faith. We just keep going ahead. There's nothing to shrink back to. What's back there? More garbage. We keep moving ahead. We press on for the mark of the high calling. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And the word saved here means complete and total deliverance from evil. None of us is there yet, so we keep pressing on. Keep getting better. Keep loving Jesus more. Becoming more like him. Then chapter 11, after those recommendations, then chapter 11 is all the people in the Old Testament that lived by faith. Man, you want to stir up your faith? See what they went through. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Wow. Joseph already knew before he died that God was going to bring the Jews out of Egypt. Faith, 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 what they all went through. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because he welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And he talks about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Talk about faith, eh? They were willing to die for Jesus. There's a greater resurrection for a greater suffering. See how the Muslims have twisted all of this? You be a martyr for Allah and you will have 70 virgins when you get to heaven. There'll be a greater reward. But too bad they serve a god of lust. I wonder what the women think of that, the Muslim women. But they're if they're allowed to think, yeah. They're not allowed to think. I heard something. I figured that's what it was. Honey, I know you. that they might. Can you imagine you're suffering and you refuse for the suffering to stop so that you can gain a better resurrection? Wow. How about you? I don't like pain. Some face jeers and flogging while still others obtain and were put in prison. We got it easy, haven't we? We don't know persecution. We don't understand suffering. Except when we get a hangnail or something. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. It's the last time you heard of anybody being sawed in two in Canada. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Wow. What a great example of faith, patience, and perseverance in the midst of suffering. We have a prayer in our prayer list to pray for those that are being persecuted, that the Lord would strengthen them and their faith and their love for Him would never fail. Some of these countries we've been in, and we see how the people live and how they're persecuted, and it's just horrible. I like Canada. I can't imagine living that way. I guess you adjust because you grow up in that kind of a situation, but no wonder everybody wants to come to North America. But it is literally terrible. Can you imagine some people can just come into your village and kill you and nobody says nothing, nobody knows who did it, burn down your house, beat up your kids? This is what pastors live like in these Muslim nations. Then you go in there and teach them they got to love their enemies, and they stand there and cry because they've been looking for ways to get even. Wow. Over here, we got it so easy that we can't even bring unity to the body of Christ hardly, because everybody wants to do their own thing and nobody wants to listen. Wow, wow, wow. Sometimes I've often wondered, does God have to allow a few bombs to go off in our malls before people will wake up to what He wants? So you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. A young man who was just going out with a girl, and he really believed that this was the girl for him, and believed God had given him a witness, but this girl had different thoughts than what he did about certain things, and he was really, remember having your heart broken when you were young? And he was really brokenhearted, and I says, well, just love her and pray for her. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I should have told him to read Hebrews chapter 11, I guess, but that was way beyond what he could endure. Jesus had his heart broken too. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 39 is a call to persevere. Wow. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. When I read that, it's like, wow, God's got this thing set up that the devil can't win. Only if we let him, only if we get discouraged, only if we give up, only if we don't have faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And he goes on to say, we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth. No sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of the judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Wow. Those are teaching words, not preaching words. Can you imagine? Jesus died so that we could have this new life. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Grace comes from living for him because of all that he's done for us. And if we know all of that and then deliberately go on sinning like he doesn't even exist, or trampling underfoot the blood of Christ, crucifying him all over again, that we're saying that his crucifixion was useless and worthless in our lives. And we are insulting the Spirit of grace. I died, Jesus says, so I could give you everything. And you're acting like I don't even exist. Insulting the Spirit of grace. You're going to do it your way? Go ahead. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That'll wake us up. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those imprisoned and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Wow. When I read that, the Lord just reminding me of the prosperity message. What a different message this is, eh? Everybody's after the money. Given, it will be given to you. So is seed of my ministry, and God will bless the socks off you. God has different ideas about our character, doesn't he? So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, have patience, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I don't care what's going on in life. This is all truth. God has already told us, shown us by his prophets what's coming. He doesn't do anything except he tells his prophets. We know the days we're living in. We know there's a revival coming. Shouldn't have to encourage anybody there's revival coming. We all know it in our hearts. When's it coming? I don't know, but I'm going to be patient. I'm going to keep doing what he's told me to do. If it doesn't come before I die, then I'm going to keep telling others and encourage them to keep on going. Get the next generation ready. Help somebody. Help somebody get ready. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, as we already read. So there's a call to persevere. Chapter 11 is the faith examples. Chapter 12 then is run the race with perseverance. So if you have a problem with patience, you really need to read these scriptures, these chapters here in Hebrews 10, 11, and 12. And just really think about it and meditate on it. Maybe you get feeling sorry for yourself. Well, look what these people went through. Suck it up. They went through it for you, and they didn't even get it, and look what they had to do. Get cut in half so that we could have what we have. Puts a little different perspective on things, doesn't it? Well, I don't like the way you talk to me, so forgive me. It's funny how everybody blames everybody else for their problems. The only person to blame for our problems is us. Patience will allow you to be trained and to produce a harvest of righteousness. Patience will give you character, depth of character. Patience or perseverance must finish its work. So how to cultivate long-suffering? How to cultivate patience? Luke 8 and 15, but that's a parable of a sower, but that on good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience or with perseverance. Hearing the word and keeping it is a combination of meditation and faith. And meditation in the word will develop faith, stir up your faith. How does faith come? By hearing and hearing the word of God. Hearing the word and keeping it is a combination of meditation and faith. During this time of patience, different things, fruit, are becoming a part of my life. Faith, endurance, promises I'm inheriting, also other fruit, joy, peace, love. All these things are developing as we go through this perseverance and patience. We're getting to know Jesus as our healer. We're getting to know him as our provider. So bring forth fruit with patience. Let me go over the fruits that we studied already. Love brings motivation for God or others. Joy brings strength. Peace brings stability. Rules as an umpire in our heart, so that it keeps us on track. Patience keeps me on track. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Enables us to receive all things. The Greek word for keep in Luke 8 and 15 has the same meaning as the Hebrew word for keep in Genesis 2, verse 15, where God told Adam to keep the garden. We are keepers of the word in our garden, our heart. Obeying the word. We can cultivate patience by experiencing suffering or tribulation. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. That doesn't sound like fun, Pastor Hank. Yeah, but it's good for you. Yahoo, here comes another trial. I'm going to grow some more. This too shall pass. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on your glorified body. Keep your eyes on eternity. Anything else is going to get us off track. Our hope is in God, in eternity. John Cool is at 91 years of health because he kept his eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. Wow. 91 years. Romans 5, 1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We live in a state of grace because Jesus has paid for all of our sins, made us absolutely righteous, and so we didn't earn that, and we can't earn grace. We're in a state of grace. In other words, God can just bless us at any time. We don't have to pray for his grace. It is there for us. When we are weak, then we are strong in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's his grace that has enabled me to do what I have done since I got saved, all by his grace. I didn't deserve any of it. I didn't earn any of it. It's a free gift. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is the full manifestation of the life of God, which we will have when we receive our glorified bodies. Wow. The power of our spirit will be turned up. And our physical body will turn into a supernatural body. And when that happens, all the rejection, all the rebellion, all the pride, all the bad habits in our heart will just dissipate, because it cannot stand in the power of the glory of God, which is in our born-again spirits. Right now it's disappearing because we're living by faith. But when we get raptured, or we receive our resurrected bodies, wow. Wow, wow, wow. To the degree that we've lived this life, we're going to experience the glory of God. I mean, it's going to be great no matter what. It's going to be wonderful no matter what. But the more we live for Jesus, we get to sit on his throne with him and rule and reign, be right next to him. Wow. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Do you remember when you were first born again? Can you go back that far, guys? First 3 months was like all those wonderful things were happening, all those good coincidences. You just had a peace in your heart. And then we had to grow up. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have just had that the rest of our lives? But it's going to be that way for eternity. That's the hope that lies before us. Just that, it was such a relief, you know, as I said many times, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener. People said, you look so peaceful, because I was always go, 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 and madman, and your countenance has changed. I mean, they even saw it just a few weeks after I was born again, but I was at peace with God. Wow, why didn't somebody tell me about this? That's just a little touch of what it's like to be in the presence of God. I mean, it's not even nowhere close to it, what heaven is going to be like. It is going to be just amazing. We've tasted that the Lord is good. And even though Kathy and I were sort of introverted, we couldn't help but want to share the gospel. We'd have people over to our house, get them filled with the Holy Spirit, start teaching everything we knew. Wow. Those are amazing scriptures there. So peace with God. There's rejoicing here, joy in the hope, and rejoice in the suffering which produces perseverance, which is patience. There's perseverance, character or fruit of the Spirit. Character produces hope, and our hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts. Our hope does not disappoint us. Wow. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because in it a righteousness from God has been made known. And that is what has provided all of this new life, all of this hope, all of this joy to live for him. There is nothing else in the end except experiencing Jesus. He is the prize of all of our life. Wow. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. That should not be a burden. As you get to know him, that should be a constant joy, knowing him better, loving him more, persevering, eternal hope. God has changed my life so drastically and used me in so many ways that I never ever dreamed of. I can't do anything but serve him. I just got to keep on trucking for Jesus. I want to keep teaching. I want to keep doing heart seminars. I want to keep traveling, having an influence on the kingdom as long as I can. Why? Because I love Jesus, because of what he's done. I thank him every day for my health. Thank him for Kathy's health. Thank him for Kathy. Wasn't for Kathy, I wouldn't even be here. Wow, what he has done. knowing that the fruit of patience is being developed within our lives is what makes us rejoice even in our sufferings, because it is through patience that we are going to inherit all the promises. So we're suffering. We're going through a trial. Hey, it's producing patience, and that's going to bring the reward. You really have to look at life from the perspective of God and how he works in our lives, or otherwise you can get frustrated in a hurry. And times when you get frustrated, you got to come back to lessons like this. Let the Holy Spirit stir up your heart. Get in the Word. Lord, stir up my heart here. Make this hope alive again. Stir me up. But you never read your Bible and you just go about life. Oh yeah, I love Jesus. I go to church. I pay my tithes. And after a while, you just get religious. You got to keep stirring up your heart to keep living. Whatever you're going through in life, the answer is in here, and it's in Jesus. And so you got to keep getting in the Word, and it just makes you stronger so that life becomes much easier. You start to enter his rest. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 is all about, entering his rest. We're not supposed to be like the ones in the wilderness who refused to go in the promised land. They knew to, they had the teachings, they had everything, but they didn't mix it with faith. They tested God all the time in the wilderness. They never cooperated with him. He was not pleased with them, and he let them die in the wilderness. But we got to keep on trucking. Even trials and suffering become positive things in the Lord. When you're going through a trial, read these scriptures. Think of where you came from. Think of all the trials you went through that God's got you through. This too will pass. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to get to know you better, but I'm going to trust you to get me through this. I'm going to pray, believe you. I'm going to exercise patience, perseverance, because it's got to work in my heart to produce faith so I can get to know you better as my healer, as my provider, whatever the problem may be, as my protector. Hallelujah. Man, I'm getting like Bill. I want to sing, but I can't. Serving God is a no-brainer. It's a win-win situation. Patience will only be developed through trial if we are exercising faith. Are we waiting or worrying? Waiting will develop patience. Worrying will develop spiritual paralysis. And a man one time was trying to tell me how spiritual was. Oh, yeah, I went through a trial, and it wasn't a trial at all. Or I was happy throughout the trial. I said, well, it wasn't a trial if you were happy. Bible says, count it joy. Don't tell me you were happy. It says, count it as joy. If it's not counted, if you didn't have to count this trial, that joy, then it wasn't a trial. But he was trying to talk like he'd arrived. Well, wait, I thought, wait till the next trial, buddy. We'll see how you are. I'm just going to slip through this to finish. This is just a few things here. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31, I won't read that, but verse 31, the King James says, wait upon the Lord, and he will mount up as wings of eagles, not wings of chickens or turkeys, but eagles. Mount up as wings as eagles. The Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt on wings of eagles. In other words, he did supernatural things to bring them out above the circumstances and the situations that they were in by the power of God. Opened the Red Sea, caused darkness to come. The Egyptian army was in complete darkness. They couldn't see light, and the Israelites were in light. I mean, he did supernatural things. He brought them out on eagle's wings above the circumstances. And if we wait upon the Lord, we will get above the circumstances because we have his faith, his hope, his eternal destination for us at heart. And we know that we're going to get through this trial and we're going to be better because of it. God will renew your strength. It's the word of God that I don't know, it just comes alive in my heart. And discouragement can't stay. I stay focused on Jesus. I mean, once in a while I get down because I'm busy. I haven't spent enough time in the Word, but anytime I spend some time in the Word, man, it rejuvenates the vision, and yes, Lord, yes, you are going to do this. Yes, I'm going to keep going. Hallelujah. I get excited about it again. Just teaching gets me excited because I got to get in the Word to teach. Romans 8, verse 24. I'm getting almost as excited as Bill is. Let's start in verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. This is what I've been talking about, our glorified bodies and how wonderful it's going to be. We groan inwardly for that. I mean, if that is truth, we should look forward to death. Because we're going to receive our promotion. We're not dying, we're going to a new level of life. We're not going to miss the ones that are behind. They might miss us, but we're going to be with Jesus. Wow, I don't want anybody shedding any tears if I was to die. I'm going to be happy as can be in the presence of the Lord. Don't feel sorry for me. Wow. For in this hope we were saved. That's our hope. To be in the presence of the Lord and have our glorified bodies. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? See, that has to be our ongoing hope. The resurrection of the dead. Being present with the Lord. Our glorified bodies. Living for eternity. I still can't get my head around that. Never, ever, 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 ever going to die again. It's accounted on every man once to die. Wow. Wow. What's that song, after we praised him 10,000 years, we've only just begun? Being in his presence. The plan God forever. Do you know how long that is? I don't. I wonder what kind of a God, plan God has for eternity, you know? I mean, he's so creative. It's going to be fun, man, forever and ever, full of joy and peace without any negative things whatsoever. No negative things in his kingdom whatsoever. Oh, I can't take it in. It's just, wow. I've experienced a little touch of it. 10 or 15 seconds here. But to have that, I couldn't take anymore. But to have that constantly, wow. But if you hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. Wow. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express. That's why speaking in tongues is important. Wow, because we don't understand the full spiritual realm, but the Holy Spirit does, and he prays through us this perfect prayer. Because he intercedes for us according to the will of God. Wow, wow, wow. He knows eternity. He knows what it's like. He can bring in the reality of it to our hearts. 1 Peter 1 and 13 says, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the revealing of Jesus Christ, when he is fully revealed. If we lose hope, we give up patience. What's the use? I can't do it. This is too hard. No, it's not. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you are weak, count on Jesus. Then you are strong, and you can do it. We must maintain hope during our trial. See your spouse saved. See yourself healed. See that relationship restored. See yourself as an overcomer. See the victory in every trial. Patience helps us to profit from our times of suffering so that none of our days be lost. All right, that's the end of the fruit of patience. Next time we'll start on the fruit of kindness. I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying going through these different fruits and how they work in our lives and how to develop them, because it's so stirs up my heart. It's so encouraging. And wow, the hope that we live for, resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. It could happen even in our lifetime, possible. But if not, we'll come back with Jesus and we'll get our glorified bodies then. Wow, wow. What a plan. And we know it has to be true because we've experienced God in our hearts. God is not a man that he should lie. So he is our eternal hope, our eternal destiny. Whew. Father, we thank you for such an awesome plan. We thank you that, Lord, we get to live with us for eternity. We don't have to come back as a cow or a snake or a bug on the wall, Lord. We thank you that you have such an awesome plan, even the resurrection of our bodies, so that we can live with you in your presence and worship you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, there is no way our minds could take in or even figure out what you have planned forever and ever and ever and ever. But we know it's going to be exciting. Just being in your presence alone will be exciting. So we thank you, Father, for such an awesome plan. Thank you, Jesus, that you died so that we could understand some things to the degree that your Holy Spirit has revealed them to us, Father. And Lord, we thank you for the eternal hope that we have in you. So Lord, by your grace, we just pray that we would fulfill every purpose that you have for us while we are here as sojourners in the world, strangers in the world, because we belong to you, another kingdom forever and ever and ever. Lord, we just pray for John and Johanna right now. Lord, we thank you that John does not have any pain, Father. Lord, as he goes home to be with you, that it be a peaceful transition, Father. That your angels are there waiting at his bedside, ready to take him up, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, that you would comfort Johanna in her loss. She loves you, Lord. She's strong in you, but her heart still is going to have to go through some grief here, Father. So we pray that, Lord, you strengthen her and her family, the kids, the grandchildren, and everyone, Father. Just be close to them, because we do not mourn as those who have no hope. We can rejoice for those who have gone home to be with you because of that eternal hope, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.